You know all of those stacked and wobbly plates you're spinning? How are you going to keep them going? Guess what? You can't. The world tells us we can and we must. That without doing them, we are less than. All the Things with Kristen Schindler is a place where plate spinning is thrown out the window. And real talk begins. Talk that's true, honest, real, raw, and redemptive. Because we have all seen enough highlight reels. What we need more of is encouragement, inspiration, and being reminded we are enough and always have been. We just forgot because we were so busy spinning plates.
Welcome to the very first episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And I am here today. I'm so excited for episode one. And this is the peer pressure trap. And so today I'm so excited for you to meet a dear friend of mine, my friend Julia, and she's here with me. And we are going to talk about peer pressure. So let's get started. All right. So Julia, something that we talked about and that you and I have talked about before is that peer pressure is something, honestly, I thought it was going to go away when I was an adult.
Right.
I mean, you talk about like, you know, peer pressure to not do drugs as a kid.
Right.
You know, all these other things, peer pressure. But I really, really thought that when I walked across the stage at graduation, I'd like hand the peer pressure over and receive the diploma and like automatically become an adult. So
right.
let's talk about, do you remember clearly a time in your life when you were younger, when you felt like peer pressure?
Yeah. I mean, I remember as a kid, like in our neighborhood anyway, it was like the thing to have a pool, and my neighbors had a pool. I wanted a pool, but the best we could do is a baby pool. And so there was kind of that pressure then, like, you know, the cool families have a pool. So that was the first thing I really remember of feeling like, oh, I want something that somebody else has and I don't have that. And that you feel like, why don't I have that? I wish I had that. And I remember that it's probably my first real understanding of like that pressure to feel like I want something that someone else has and feeling like that's what I want to.
I don't have a pool. I never had a pool. I was never cool. Do you have a pool now as an adult?
I do not.
So we're still not cool.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to just kind of clarify. Yeah. We're still not cool.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't know. Like growing up for me, I was a military brat. So, you know, the things that my kids deal with now with like houses and people building new houses and all, I didn't deal with any of that. Because as a military brat, you just like move into a house that has nothing and you're just there for 2 years and then you just leave.
Right.
So I never had like that kind of peer pressure. And I do remember like wanting to look like some of the people that I was around. Like I had straight hair and everybody else had perms.
Yeah.
And I wanted a perm really bad.
Right.
And my mom would, she like steadfast said no.
Right.
Like not going to happen.
Right.
I also wanted braces. That's not peer pressure. Like that was torture for them. But for me, I really wanted braces.
As did I.
You did.
Yes. I wanted them.
Did you ever get them?
Not till I was an adult.
Okay. But you did bow into peer pressure and you got them. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, So that's good to know. So we understand what peer pressure, but I just really didn't think peer pressure was going to continue into my adult years.
Right.
You know, I thought I really, as a child, as an adolescent, you know, I mean, then as you grow,
right,
you know, but I feel like it's, and now when you look at how our world is different in terms of like what our kids are dealing with in terms of social media and the peer pressures, you know, of those types of things, I think it's a whole different gamut. So when you were in high school, did you have certain things that you or adolescent, like certain things that you had to have, like peer pressure, like you had somebody else have it. You talked about a pool, like, but did you have other things?
Well, I mean, I'm part of the 80s. Like, we were all about name brand. Izod, Jordache, Calvin Klein, all. And then, yeah, that was. And also, another one was herringbone gold chain necklaces. Those were a big thing.
Nice.
Like, oh, yeah, you have that. You're styling. You're good.
I know everybody used to wear Guess jeans.
Yes.
And I was not able to fit in them. So, like, you could, like, guess what size Kristen would wear. I don't know, because I would not, I couldn't even put them on, like, you know. But I remember feeling peer pressure of you know, seeing what other people were wearing. And yes. And I, my body was developed before other people. So I was, like, you know, shopping in the Husky Girl section, you know, and it was, like, that's just what I had to wear, you know. But I didn't have any gold, like, necklaces and yeah. stuff like that. But yeah, we also did like Eastlands. Everybody had to have Eastlands.
Oh, yes.
And everybody pegged their jeans. And yes. if you didn't have jeans, you were pegged, you know, like
yes.
that was like the you know, the peer pressure.
Yes. The tight roll. Is it
yes. Tight roll. It's yes. like come back. It's come back now. yes. But you know, that was what yes. everybody was wearing during those times. And also, you know, it was another big thing in high school. People used to have these, they were called Volkswagen Cabriolets.
Oh.
It was, I went to high school in California. So that was like the vehicle to have, oh. you know, because it was a, what do you call it? Like a, like oh. a, not a retractable sunroof, but you know, what do you call
convertible.
It? Convertible. A convertible. They're not yeah. even cool enough to know what you call it. It's yeah. a convertible.
Yes.
But that's what the cool people, like, you know, you would see them driving and, you right. know, I never had a friend that had one because I wasn't cool enough for that. But, you know, but that was something that I always was like, if, when I'm cool one day, yeah. I will have a Volkswagen Cabriolet.
Yes.
So I also never got one of those. So I'm still evidently not cool.
Well, nor do I.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. But you have a Prius. So that's well, kind of like, you know, cool in like the, you know, the 40 age group.
Right.
Like, so you're in that way.
I've arrived.
So, yeah. You have arrived. You're arrived in your Prius. So.
Yes.
So Juliet, tell me, when we've talked before about our kids and, you know, as new moms, what was your take on, did you feel pressure as a new mom? Like I felt like I had to have the nursery a certain way. I felt like I had to have, you know, the, everything washed and folded. And I had to use Dreft detergent.
Yes.
Or I was a horrible mother.
Right.
You know, if I didn't protect my baby, my newborn baby skin, you know, with special baby, you know, stuff.
Right.
Which I told everybody I really did wash it in that, but I never bought Dreft detergent. So I know that's probably, you know, my kids are suffering still. So what did you have any of those pressures as a new mom?
You know, when you think about having your baby and you think, what is my baby going to look like? Are they going to be ugly? But of course I would never know it because I would love them regardless. But you know, you think about these things like, what is my baby going to look like? What are they going to be like? And of course, when my baby was born, she's beautiful. And of course that was lovely. And then they hit certain milestones, like, you know, they're crawling and then they're walking and then are they babbling and all the things that they do. And then one thing I didn't really realize or hit me like, wow, it starts really early on where we start measuring and comparing and are they doing this? Are they doing that? When it came to talking, like, one of my children, when they were born and after they came to a certain age, they're expected to say certain words and that my child was not as at that point yet. And I knew that it was there, but you know, I talked to the pediatrician about it and she was talking to me about it and saying, this is what to look for. But I remember someone critiquing that, like, oh, your child should be saying these words or this amount of words at that point. I remember thinking, hey, this is my baby. Why are we measuring and doing that in that way? And I was just like, wow, it starts early on, like that we start measuring, comparing children to where they should be. And those things are important, but I think sometimes it happens sooner than I think, especially as a first time mom, you're ready to hear that perhaps.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's important to recognize because I never, you know, I just thought you have a baby and everybody like oohs and ahs over it. And then you're like, start the journey.
Right.
Right. And like, everybody's going to be like, oh yay, you're such a good mom.
Right.
And, you know, oh, the baby is walking and stuff. And we had, for the most part, you know, everybody's lives are different. You know, people, you know, motherhood does not usher everybody in with the same, you know, cheering squad or banner or, you know, there's, you know, different ways that, you know, people have babies and, you know, whether or not they carry them or adopt them and stuff. But, you know, when you're young and you're naive, you know, these are the things that you believe that it's just going to happen a certain way. And then, you know, and then life happens and then you realize you were like an idiot and you didn't know anything at all until, you know, whatever. Right. So, but I remember, I didn't really feel the pressure until my kid, who shall remain nameless, started struggling in school. Mm-hmm. And I had other friends whose kids weren't struggling.
Right.
And I thought, wait a minute, is there something wrong? Like, am I doing something wrong here? Mm-hmm. And then I felt the pressure, and especially as an educator, like I felt the pressure to press this child even more.
Right.
Because obviously they needed more pressure because they weren't performing. Because everybody else's child was doing what should have been done. And that was just the beginning of that pressure. And, you know, years later, you know, I have two children who are, you know, exceptional learners. They're twice exceptional, they would call them, as dyslexic learners. They're very, very bright, but they do not think like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I look back now and I think, you know, that kind of set me up as a pressured parent to press them, you know, which, you know, I mean, we have talked about that issue, you know, we've kind of flushed that out, that I was just going along with what even professionals told me at that time.
Right.
You know, but I think as a parent, we have to be really mindful, you know, who are we using as our gauge? And, you know, now if I had to do it all over again, you know, I would, you know, and I kind of feel like, you know, with my third child, I have like taken the reins off. Like, okay, you don't want to do this, but you want to do this. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. You know, but the first one, you don't really realize you're going to have such pressure as a parent.
Yes.
All right, so here's an area that as a grown-up, I didn't realize was going to be, and as a grown-up that has children, I didn't realize this was going to be as big of a peer pressure. And if you've gone, Disneyland, Disney World. Have you guys gone?
We have.
Okay, so you are better parents than we are, because I didn't realize what a peer pressure going to the place that everybody assumes and says is the happiest place on earth.
Right.
Okay, here's the deal. I don't do well with large crowds. And I feel anxious if I talk to a friend and I'm like, okay, she's like, you know what? I'll do all the planning for you. I will get the books. I will do the, I'm like, what do you mean all the books? You have to, what do you mean?
That stresses me out just hearing books.
I know.
Lots of books.
Well, I mean, I like to read. I mean,
but for a trip,
but
lots
exactly.
Of books. Right.
I'm like, what do you mean? I have to read books and plan. I'm not learning a different language. I mean, it's in Florida, right? We're not going to like Disney Tokyo.
Right.
We're just, but honestly, the peer pressure.
Yes, that is a thing.
And
you're
it's
right.
not just one time.
Oh, no.
Like, people go numerous times. Of, are you a multiple Disney per year person?
No.
So I don't want to offend you.
No. We've only taken our children one time as a family together.
Okay, so we can still be friends. Okay,
yes.
That's good to know.
We're
all right.
Good.
But no, but honestly, like, before I became a parent, I had no idea that, and maybe it's just where we live. In terms of, you know, we live in the Midwest, so it's like kind of like Florida is a big vacation destination.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
that's part of it.
But that was an area I was not prepared for peer pressure at all.
What do you feel pressure about with your kids?
Well, I'll tell you something that we did feel pressure about in the last couple of years, and that was it was interesting because I felt I grew up playing sports. Like, I played sports, my kids played sports, or my parents played sports.
Right.
You know, my dad did. And so I just assumed my kids were going to play sports.
Right.
And I hung around people who had sports, you know, minded thoughts and stuff. And, right. you know, everybody signs their kids up for Little League. Like, it's just what you do.
Right.
You know, and there's like this pressure as an adult to then have your children doing what, you know, everybody else in your community, you know, happens uh-huh. to be doing. You know, where we live, it just happened to be, you know, Little League. Once you turn 5, you can, you know, sign up. So right. for my first son, that was fine. Like, he never had a problem, you know, right. with Little League. But my second son, mm-hmm. he didn't want to play Little League.
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean you don't want to play Little League? Like, that's what you do.
Right.
You know, and right. I remember him telling me, uh-huh. you know, I don't want to play. And it was actually a big battle because he didn't like the feeling of being up to bat and having people watch him.
Yes.
But I didn't want my kid to be the kid that couldn't stand in the batter's box and not want to play ball.
I know.
And so that yes. was a battle. And I had to, and one day he said to me, he was like, Mom, do you know why I don't want to play?
Right.
And I said, I don't know. Why? Why do you not want to play baseball? And he said, because every time we're ready to go, I just want to play with my friends. I'm playing with my friends at my park. We have a neighborhood park. Uh-huh. And he was like, I just want to play with my friends. And then I have to go. And it really made me stop and think about why I wanted him to play baseball.
Right.
Like, who was I serving?
Right.
You know, was it because I just wanted my kid to play baseball so that I could sit in the bleachers and see and everybody else's kids are, you know, doing it and it's just, or was I willing to listen to him
right.
telling me how he truly felt about something?
Right.
And I think that that's part of the problem is that as parents, you know, but it doesn't have to be as parents, but as parents, you know, the peer pressure that I have felt is, you know, other people judging mm-hmm. what your kid is doing,
right.
what your kid isn't doing. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because you feel like, oh, well, if my kid's not playing Little League or if my kid's not taking, you know, ballet and dance and, you know, karate right. or mm-hmm. lacrosse or whatever, right. you know, oh, if you haven't signed them up for, you know, Little Guppy swimming,
especially
you know?
Field hockey, what you coached, isn't that kind of a genre of like uppity, isn't it kind of a,
well, when I first started coaching, yeah, the only places we ever coached, we had to go play private school. So it right. really wasn't even like in our area, public school sport.
Right. So there's a culture with that. There's a culture with that. And if your kid plays field hockey, well, then you must be in this income tax bracket or you hang out with this flavor of people or do you know what I mean? And there's mm-hmm. a prestige to it. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would think, I don't know. And it's like, and again, like, do I want my kid to, and not that I care. I mean, I wouldn't be mind if they wanted to play that, but it's like, why do I want my kid to do these certain things? Is it for me? Is it really for them? Do I really listen to what they're saying or do I just have my own agenda? How this should be, this should go.
Right. And I think the agenda is something that is hard because as my kids have gotten older, I have had to realize that, you know, they are so different, which I know growing up, I would look at my brother and he would look at me and we'd be like, how are we even related?
I know,
you know, and right. now as I have 3 kids, they're all so different. It's like so different.
Right.
You know,
same parents.
Same parents. Yes. I'm like, you know, yeah. we're still serving you all the same things for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, I'm not like changing up your food.
Right.
You know, but they're so different. But it's made me really have to think what is best for you versus what I'm doing because of the input I'm getting from other people.
Right.
And, you know, am I, you know, do I just want them to be like, oh, your kids are so blah, 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 you know, or even what I'm doing because everybody else is doing it.
Right.
You know, and
right.
that's just a place that I have found myself.
Right.
I know a time that I really struggled with peer pressure and it wasn't malicious or anything, but it was when I decided to step away from a career that I had been doing mm-hmm. for 20 plus years. And it was, you know, I was in public education and I decided I wanted something different for my life. And I felt kind of a sense of, and it was probably my own doing. It wasn't, you know, what other people were saying to me. You know, I worked with great people, but I just kind of felt like a peer pressure of everybody was still doing what I wasn't doing anymore. Mm-hmm. And was I really doing what, you know, the right thing? Was it the right thing to step away? You know, what I was doing was very different mm-hmm. than what everybody that I had been around for 20 years. Right. And I think that that's something that I want to instill in my children, is that there's good, you know, there's that good peer pressure when someone's doing something and we, you know, we look at it and go, oh, wow, that's, I really would like to try that.
Right.
You know, they're doing something and it pressures us to maybe expand our choices or do something that we've never done before.
Yes.
But I think it's important for us to be able to have them recognize the difference between the two.
Right.
You know, and I'm so grateful that I stepped away from my comfort zone and I felt called, and I really truly believe it was a calling. Like right. I believe it was, you know, I'm a believer and I believe that that was a calling of taking me away from someplace that I did have comfort and that I was kind of stagnant in. Mm-hmm. And it pushed me to do new things and meet new people and go to new places. And it really has changed the trajectory of my life. I mean, I wouldn't have started this podcast had I stayed where I was. You know, I wouldn't have written my book had I stayed right. where I was. So, and I'm honest with my children mm-hmm. about that. But growing up, I don't remember having those conversations. It was a different time.
Right.
Like the conversations of peer pressure when I was their age, it was about like, don't do drugs, don't right. have sex, you know, don't get in the car with strangers, don't jump right. off the bridge just because everybody else is jumping right. off the bridge. Like that yes. kind
yeah.
of peer pressure.
Right. Right.
So now our kids have social media, which we didn't have
right.
growing up, thank God.
Yes.
So, but here's a question, especially with, you know, I've seen kind of a turn, especially in social media, because social media can be a time of peer pressure as adults. Like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I've been watching everybody on Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and whatever, and their yeah. houses look like this. And, you know, it was Pinterest for a while. Like Pinterest was right. social media, like, you know, peer pressure of, you know, having your house look all, you know, a certain way
right.
with shiplap everywhere,
yes.
you know. And so I feel like that's a peer pressure.
Yes.
An adult peer pressure.
Right.
That if you don't have a house that looks like Joanna Gaines is your, you know, personal stylist.
Right.
That you're, you know, you're not.
Like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
What's going
but
on?
But I've been to your house, and your house does kind of look like Joanna Gaines. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that you were peer pressured into that, but I will say you have good taste in style. But I feel like there's like a balance that's hard.
Right.
As adults, because on one hand, social media plays in with everything. And now with, you know, where we are, you know, everybody's Zooming everything.
Right.
And, you know, your technology is like, we are in the digital age. That's
right.
all there is to it. We're doing this podcast because we're in the digital age.
Right.
So I think that social media can be a benefit because it connects people.
Right.
And, you know, I hope, you know, people are feeling connected with us,
right.
you know, today, because we're right. having a lot of fun with what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I think it also is like a double-edged sword.
Right.
Like, don't take pictures of your food while we're eating because we should be talking and not just taking pictures of our food. But people do it all the time.
Right.
And they're posting all the time.
Right.
You know, and our kids see that. Like, okay,
yeah.
so when I eat food, if it looks appetizing, I should take a photo
right.
of it.
I think sometimes we forget to be in the moment and just be like, be here, be in the moment and not in... not be concerned about how others perceive your world necessarily, but how do you perceive your world and how does God perceive your world?
Right. Because when we were growing up, my parents never took a picture of their food.
Right.
Like,
nor my house either.
But see, our kids, that is like norm.
Right.
So
right.
does that become a peer pressure? Like, does that become a pressure? Like, it's not a peer pressure for them, but do they become pressured then that as they move forward, it's kind of like one of those things. I kind of feel like peer pressure is almost kind of like also one of those things that is expected that you kind of put in your backpack as you move forward. And then you just kind of start carrying that backpack of expectations of what is supposed to be
right.
as you continue moving forward.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I remember clearly talking about something that happened with our family. We had thought about moving out of our house. Mm-hmm. And we kind of hem and hawed. We'd talk about it and then we'd, you know, and then not talk about it. And I remember there was lots of building going on in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we would be driving around or whatever. And one day, out of the blue, my son, he was probably, I don't know, 9 at the time, my oldest son. And he said, "Mom, we need a new house." Mm-hmm. And I said, "We do?" He said, "Yeah, we need a new house."
Yeah.
I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because we've been in this one a while and it's getting kind of old. And all these other houses, they're building all these other houses across town, like new ones.
Right.
Like we've been here my whole life.
Right.
Like it's time to get a new house.
My whole 9 years.
It's a long time.
Right.
And so, but that kind of clicked for me mm-hmm. at that point was like, wait a minute. Like he doesn't realize that just because they're building new ones, like you don't move out of the old one just to get a new one. Like
right.
ours is perfectly fine. Like you can, right. like people do it all the time.
Right.
But I was like, that didn't register.
Right.
Like you just don't move into a new one because right. you've been in one for a while.
Right.
Like if you need a bigger space or right. you're moving to a new place or, you know, mm-hmm. you need to have more space because you have more kids or, you know, whatever. But, right. But for me, it was kind of like, whoa, like what am I? Like, I pretty much failed on that one. Like, I felt like I needed to do a little bit of backpedaling and like, dude, no, that's,
yeah,
like, that's not necessary. You know, we don't have to move because of that. But, so it makes you wonder, like, what pressures.
Right. Like, it makes you think, did he think, oh, this is what my mom values because my mom and dad were driving around looking at houses that are new ones being built. Is this something I should value? Like, oh, new must be better. But as we both know, it's not necessarily better, but to a child, they must think, I can see why they would think that. They might think, oh, this is something adults value, newness, because we got to come see it. And it is neat to see a new house, but why do we want the new house?
Right. And I think that if nothing else, as my kids get older and, you know, we have these conversations, and I even think to myself, I was in the store today and I saw this something on the shelf when I was getting Cheerios. I wasn't even looking for it, but there it was right on this.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's so nice. That's so cute. And I had to stop myself and I had to say, why are you looking at this?
Right.
This has no sentimental value to you.
Right.
You are being pressured because it's in the new spring lineup.
Right.
Of new, you know, tchotchke stuff
yes.
that someone somewhere in a country far, far away has deemed essential to be in my home.
Right.
And it's not. But right. that's just, that is in itself a peer pressure.
Yes. Yes.
And I had to make a conscious, active choice to put it down, put the cute thing down
right.
because I don't need it.
Right.
And I think that's, I just really want to be more mindful of that.
Why do we place value on it? Is it going to add value to our life? Is it going
right.
to add beauty to our life in a true, like authentic kind of way? Or is it just like, oh, it's new. And then you move on to the next thing. That's how I can be. I know. Like, it's new. Why do I like it? Because it's new and it's different. And then once the novelty wears off, I'm on to the next thing.
Right. Because you're never going to be filled by that.
No.
Because there's always going to be the next new thing.
Yes.
And I think I have to remember that.
Right.
And that's something that I want my kids to remember too.
Yes.
So Julia, what's some advice that you perhaps wish that you would have gotten as a new mom or that you want to give to new moms out there now?
It's okay that maybe things aren't going perfectly or like according to the master plan that...
There's a master plan. I did not get that memo. That's why things haven't been going for me. I didn't get that. Was that something you got like when you
yeah,
like you had your child, your first one?
Yeah, apparently.
I missed that one too. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, did they feel like... There has been, I mean, we're all in this together, that we're not competing with each other. And if there is something we need to work on, then let's work on it together.
Right.
Let's be a motherhood or a sisterhood or humanity to work together and not feel like we have to compete with everything.
Right. I agree. And I think one of the things too that, you know, I think that the media, we have to be so careful, because something that I didn't even notice, like certain things you watch and then you're like, wow. Like, have you watched have you watched the commercials? Because I don't really watch a whole lot of commercials because we do a lot of Netflix and streaming and stuff. But I just noticed someone posted something the other day and it made me think about it. Did you see the post where they said, you know, when I was a child, I really thought quicksand was going to be something I really had to worry about a lot more? Because in like every episode when I was like, you know, like old, it was like always like quicksand.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this was going to be a real big problem.
Right.
Like you needed to know how to get out of the quicksand. Right.
Yes.
And now I feel like, no, that's not it at all. So that was like an old school thing. But it was just ingrained in you. Like you will have quicksand. Right.
Yes.
Well, the other day I was watching this, it's called a commercial, but I don't even know what to call it because I don't ever watch them, but it was a commercial and it was a husband and wife and they were dressed in like things to go to work and they're having like their orange juice on their island in the morning and everybody's like, you know, bright and cheery in the morning.
Yeah.
And you watch that and you just go, oh, that's how mornings are supposed to go, I guess.
Right.
You just assume that that's what life is supposed to look like.
Right.
And I think what happens is we look at those things and we subconsciously start making the list.
Right.
Of what needs to happen. Like, clearly, like looking at laundry soap commercials. Clearly, right. I did not know this, and I don't know if this is what happens to your house. Evidently, you're not supposed to leave your laundry in the washer too long. It's supposed to come out smelling nice. Like it's not supposed to smell like mildew.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're only supposed to have to wash the load one time.
Once?
And then it comes out smelling good. I mean, that's just kind of a silly example, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like how many people, that's real life.
Right. Exactly.
Real life is not like, you know, bringing it out and smelling it and being like, oh, it smells so good.
Right.
No, it's like, oh, dang it. I got to run it another time.
Right.
You
know?
Yeah, I
mean, it's been sitting here too long.
But I think that's the thing is like too often we just go through life with this peer pressure of what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're a man, it doesn't matter if you're a woman, it doesn't matter if you're married, it doesn't matter if you're single. I fully expect if I follow the commercials for, you know, different kinds of medication,
right,
that as soon as my hair turns gray, I will lose 40 pounds and it will be long and wavy because that's what the old ladies look like. They're all physically fit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm looking forward to looking like that,
yeah,
you know, because that's just what it, you know, what you're supposed to look like. And I think what happens is we just continue, you know, to feel like we have to be worthy,
right?
To have arrived, like you said, when you got your Prius,
right.
To have arrived, you have to have this.
Right.
And if you don't, sorry, but you're just
like not relevant.
You're not relevant. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not relevant. And it's like, it's ridiculous.
And there's a quote and it goes something like, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it goes, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes. I love that quote.
Yes. And I think with social media, as we've talked about before, I think what that has done, yes, there's good things about social media, but it can be a double-edged sword. I think it's more in your face. Like, well, my life doesn't always look like these posts I see in Facebook. So is my life, is there something wrong? Am I doing something? But what we don't talk about or what we need to talk about is they're showing what they want you to see, not what's really going on necessarily in the backgrounds. And we got to remind ourselves of that. And again, I think when we constantly compare, like, well, I don't have this, but they have that. It does steal the joy and peace in our heart, in our lives.
Well, it's like allowing someone else to be the director of your movie.
Yes.
They're directing what they want us to think normal is.
Right.
What the world tells us that normal is.
Right.
And if you don't have that, then you do feel that, oh, well, I need to get that.
Right.
I mean, you seriously, and this happens with adults. Do you know that I have people that are like, I'm like, oh, I can't get that app. I don't have an Apple. They're like, what?
Yeah.
You don't have, I mean, now Apple, if you want to sponsor us, I'm very happy to sponsor you with iTunes, but I don't, I'm a Samsung's girl.
Yeah.
I like Samsung and that it works well for me. I know how to work the product.
Right.
You know, there's not a big learning curve for me.
Right.
But I feel like that's exactly what happens. Like, oh, I can't believe that you don't have that. Right. And that's, these are adults who are like learned people.
Right.
And they still.
Right.
They still say this. It's kind of crazy to me.
So clearly when you get off the graduation stage in high school and get your diploma, peer pressure is not out the window. It still continues into our adult lives.
If every aspect of it, as a parent, as a, you know, probably as someone who gets a pension, like it's going to happen, you know, like what? You didn't get the convertible? I mean, I probably won't even get the Cabriolet when I retire. I mean, I probably won't. You know, that's just the way it works.
Oh, those Cabriolets.
I know. Too bad we can't be sponsored by them.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
One thing that I'm seeing, especially with this COVID-19 and, you know, the sheltering in place and everything, you know, nobody's shopping. And if they're doing it online, but you're not, you know, you're not seeing people out. And I really feel that even people who are like posting on like live videos and stuff, they're like in baseball caps and they don't have, I mean, some people have like, they're all dolled up and stuff.
Right.
But I think what people are doing is they're taking stock of what have I allowed to be pressuring in my life that I've used and been using emotional currency on or, you know, emotional value on that really doesn't pour into the value of my life.
Right.
And I've just been wasting it.
Right.
You know? And so I'm hopeful that out of this pandemic, people will come away. Cause I mean, people that I've talked to in the grocery store, people I've talked to in my neighborhood, they've all said that, you know, as tragic as things are and people loss of life, we've lost family, a dear family friend. We've had friends who have been ill from the virus. But in the overall scheme of things, it's having people look at what is of most value,
right?
All the things that are the most valuable in life. And those are not things that are actual things that we can own.
Right.
And because someone else has something doesn't mean that it's going to fit well in our life.
Right.
And, you know, it could, but thinking about it and determining whether or not we want to bring that into our lives and place that above what our lives are supposed to have to benefit us, because it's not going to look the same for everybody.
Right.
It's going to be different for everybody in every different situation.
Right.
Well, Julia, thank you so much for being my very first guest.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited.
I'm
you are a wonderful guest, by the way.
Oh,
just want to tell you, you laughed. You have a good laugh, and I always love talking to you. So I'm hopeful. Will you come back for another episode?
I would love it.
Okay. Well, that's your homework. Your homework is to come up with another episode. And ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for joining us. I hope that you enjoyed our very first podcast of All the Things with Kristen Schindler, and we will see you next time. Have a great day.